Introducing Fitzy and
Whipper. I might just throw a couple of snags on the barbie if that's all right, guys. Jeez, it's a good sound, isn't it?
Can you chuck a beef patty on for me?
Yeah, no worries. There you go.
Are we doing a mixed grill? Hang on
a minute. I might just put my finger on my booty, Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Darren's doing a wee on the hot plate.
No, Darren, don't do
Darren,
that.
Darren, you're better than
that. That's why I never use a public barbecue.
Don't you? No. No one wees on it.
Sarah.
Who urinates on a barbecue?
Sarah.
Wonderful question.
Sarah.
What?
Josiah's nodding his head.
Are you
serious? I have seen so many people.
Oh, come on. That's disgusting.
Sarah, in my where I grew up, it was known the teenagers to the public barbecues down there near the beach.
Oh, there's Darren. Darren. Put it away.
Oh, whoa. That's
horrible. Not that sausage for the barbie. Whoa. I've never heard of anybody urinating on a barbecue.
So unhygienic.
13-24-10, if you've heard of it before.
Has anyone weed on a barbecue, give us a call.
Well,
you could actually clean a barbecue with urine, couldn't
you? I'd rather not use a stranger's urine to marinate my steak.
Nah, well, it's going to be awkward for you to wee on it, Sarah.
Make sure you sterilise it completely before
Fair
you
point.
Use a public barbecue.
What's Sarah doing?
Snags.
Whoa, Sarah.
So I know it was
Sarah,
a big day.
That was from 30 metres away.
Oh, all right.
How do you do that?
Come on, children, tell your story.
Get that online.
Okay, so we've chucked a couple of snags on the barbie. Why aren't they still sizzling?
Come on, mate. Keep the barbecue going.
Okay, now, a snag's pretty easy. Okay, you just need a bit of heat on the grills, and then you just chuck the snags on, Sarah. And I would say around about 7 or 8 minutes later, your snag's ready.
Well, hang on a minute. What sort of snag are you talking?
Well, this is the thing.
You got
if
your long
it's thicker, you leave it on there for a bit longer. If it's thin, you're probably looking at 3 to 4 minutes. This really upsets me because there's an article that's come out overnight saying that we're cooking our snags completely wrong.
Who said that?
It's a website. It's a cooking website, and I don't even want to name them because it makes me so angry. He said you're doing it totally wrong. The guy said you've got to do it on low heat,
mm-hmm.
right? And you've got to put 2 to 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter on the bottom and cook them for 30 minutes. That's the key.
30 minutes?
Apparently, this method gives extra flavour and texture.
And heart attack.
Because you've added butter.
Butter complements sausage fat better than oil, as well as lubricating the pan. But unsalted should be used, otherwise the salt will crystallise and collect in your pan. I think butter with the fat of a sausage would just be too sickly, wouldn't it?
It's such a fine line, though. One of the great things about sausages is the fat that comes out, right? You always want your sausages dripping with juice by the time you eat it. But the thing is, if you add oil, it's so easy to overdose on oil.
Mm.
And the next thing you know, you've got so much fat coming out of the sausage anyway that the pan's just spitting all over the place.
Mm.
That's if you're in the kitchen.
But see, we should make our own gourmet sausages. Didn't you make the world's longest sausage?
Thank you so much for the question. Not only did I make the Sunday roast sausage, which included your vegetables and everything, I also hold the title for the longest sausage made in this country.
Oh, see, I don't rate gourmet sausages. I had one on the weekend. It was the biggest letdown.
Mate. Do you know what
they just don't taste as good.
Sarah, a pea in a sausage is like a nugget in the earth. It's gold. It's like you're panning and you've stumbled
What's
across.
What's wrong with just some good old
beef sausage?
Do you know what I had the other day, which was unbelievable?
Talk us through it.
Chicken sausage.
Mm-hmm.
With cranberry and also camembert.
Oh, come on. That's
so
ridiculous.
Were they in the sausage?
Very gourmet, I know, Sarah, and a little bit wanky. But when I chucked it on...
Yeah,
When I chucked it on... Oh, my God.
You're so slow on the barbie, Josiah. Do you know what? Why don't... Tommy, I mean, we could even try and beat my record for the longest sausage. It was 350 metres of pork and fennel sausage made over a three-hour period.
350 metres
of sausage.
I also had the suggestion, and I know this is a bit full on. Thank you very much. I've already eaten mine.
Big barbecue.
But, I can't even remember the name of it now. You give birth to your child.
Oh, placenta.
Placenta.
Placenta snag.
But Sarah, because people do eat the placenta, okay?
Yes.
Well, apparently Tom Cruise did. But I reckon if you put it into a sausage and you cooked it, it would be fine to eat.
I don't know. I ate one of Lisa's placenta pills on air. Remember that?
That's right. How did you feel?
The whole day I was kind of getting a little bit of blood reflux.
Yeah, sure. It was just the taste of afterbirth.
Yeah, it was not nice.
And now you've got a bit of hair on your shoulders as well. You've got a bit of whip flea in you.
There's no question. That's a stupid question like any.
any question I know.
Where are those hot pants? Does anybody know?
She did a gallery of all her costumes.
Yeah, sure.
And they were in there.
So you can't buy them?
There's only certain people that can wear those hot pants.
Mm.
She said she could never get rid of them. And she is so tiny. She wears children's clothes.
So true, Sarah.
Diana's giving us a call. Good morning, Diana.
Hi.
All right, now, no question is a stupid question. You're safe here. What would you like to say?
I wanted to ask, do all dogs bark in the same language?
Oh.
But Tommy,
of course, has the job of Mr. Google here.
Okay.
You would assume dogs speak the same language, but whether they're actually communicating in detail or they're just generic signs.
How's this, right?
Yeah.
Cooper, our dog, there's a dog across the road that barks quite a bit. Now, when this dog barks sometimes, Cooper will not move. He'll just sit there. He'll lay down, doesn't do anything. But then there's other barks that Cooper hears, gets straight up and runs outside because he knows there's someone walking past.
Yeah, right.
So I reckon there is a certain language for dogs.
Wouldn't it just be like key signs? So you would know if there's danger, like a dog would have one bark for danger, one bark for excitement, one bark that's
for
maybe
schmackos.
A mating call.
You're right. Getting your attention.
Yep, getting your attention bark. They just have the simple kind of barks, wouldn't they? Tom, I don't know.
You're absolutely correct. They bark exactly the same way. However, in other countries, they don't use the term bark. They use, like some countries use the word ham-ham. So instead of saying there's a dog barking, you say there's a dog ham-hamming.
Stop ham-hamming.
Which is a bit weird. But yes, so all dogs bark. They can bark without hearing other dogs as well.
Yep.
So they're not just imitating. They do it all on their own.
Because the beagle has a funny bark, doesn't it? It's got a husky bark. The beagle sounds like a 60-year-old smoker when it barks.
Right. Yeah.
So everyone would know if it was a beagle.
What was that dog that used to... Mutley.
He was a smoker as well, Muttley. He was a pack a day.
Massive on the durries.
Hope we helped out, Diana.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was good. She liked that one.
Yeah, no, we learned
a lot. Tom.
Ham.
Chris in Penrith, what's your question?
G'day, boys. Just want to know, why is yawning contagious?
Good question. Why is yawning contagious? It does work, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just trigger, if I see you yawn, my brain just responds in a...
Yeah, but see,
I copy you?
Yeah, but see, I thought yawning was because you have lack of oxygen to the brain.
Apparently so, yeah. And hiccups is when you have too much.
Yeah, but, I mean, your body has to go through that lack of oxygen. But if you see someone else yawn, does that mean you instantly have that lack of oxygen to your brain?
Because I think the one thing about having kids is the great study that you see what is not taught, I suppose, and what is not education to what is the natural instincts of a human. And even when you are dealing with a baby, they can see you yawn and they yawn.
There's a lot of people.
Now, that is clever.
There's a lot of people yawning after that story.
It wasn't a story. It was a piece of information contributing to this.
I don't even remember my life before that story.
Can we go back to ham, Tom?
That is contagious. I'm bugging you.
I am.
Well, Sarah
I'm yawning right now.
Sarah is correct because there's spontaneous yawning, which is what you do if you have a lack of energy or you're hungry and those sorts of things. And then there is contagious yawning. And it is just the neurons in your brain mirroring what they are seeing another person do. But interestingly, chimps will even start yawning when they watch videos of other chimps.
Do they?
Yeah.
100%. See, I find that I yawn if we're talking about yawning. I've yawned for the last minute or so now. I'm still yawning right now.
Tom, your wife was yawning quite a bit on your wedding night, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Yep.
And the next day, and even when you conceived the second child, congratulations again, she was still yawning.
Thank you for your thoughts.
I'll tell you what, I've been in the back of a cab with Tom before, and I had lack of oxygen that time as well.
You certainly didn't want to get the hiccups. You didn't want to get too much oxygen on that occasion.
Yep.
My God, we nearly died. Ben, hello.
Hello, how you going?
Ben, good buddy. What's your question?
Mate, I got a guy at work who's going on a cruise with his missus around the world for a long time, and I was wondering, do you get jet lag from being on a cruise?
Great question. Okay, now, a couple of weeks ago when we went up to Darwin, Tommy Williams and I, we went deep sea fishing, and you know how I get seasick? I had a tablet which knocked me out.
I was
really druggy from
it. So you felt seasick?
No. When we got off the boat that night when we went to sleep, I laid down in the bed, and Tommy said the same when he went to bed. I felt like you're still on a boat felt like you're rocking and out to sea still.
You get that.
And it was a horrible feeling, Sarah. I felt a bit crook.
Yeah, that wouldn't be nice. It'd be like being really drunk.
Nothing to do with the question. Absolutely nothing to do with jet lag.
But it's that's
one spending a day on a boat. And
it's
the
side effects of travelling on a boat.
Well, it is. It's instead of jet lag, it is called ship lag when you go on a cruise. And it does exist. And they say it's all about the time zone. So stay active. Get some sun into your skin and stay hydrated.
You know what you got to do too, Benny, and a tip for your friends. Like when you travel overseas, when you get there and you're tired, don't lie down. Mm. Have a drink and push through. Am I right, guys?
If you're on a ship,
I mean, yeah, you don't have an option.
Just get onto the sun, Prince. Yeah,
eat something really quickly, get gastro, enjoy your break.
And you'll just be in your room for 2 days. You'll wake up and you'll be completely fine. 90,000 births in Sydney last year, and a majority of them were born in hospitals.
Yeah, sure.
Also, how's this? A report's come out overnight saying that there was one in a McDonald's car park.
Oh, yeah.
There was one in a fish and chip shop, and also one in a Sydney car wash.
Wow, when it's ready to come out, it's ready to come out.
Car wash wouldn't be much fun.
Now, where are you in the car wash? Are you waiting for your coffee and having a flip through an old magazine?
Is it one of those old ones where you have to sit in your car and sort of drive it through slowly?
Yep.
So you actually can't get out because the propeller thing
and then the brush breaks
there
and you're halfway through it and you've paid for the deluxe and you've got to give birth on the back side.
Do you go back for your birthday party every year at the car wash?
Why not?
See, Macca's is the big one though. Mm. You'd have to go back to Macca's for your birthday all the time.
Definitely. Were they just in the car park as well? Was that where their birth was for the McDonald's one?
Drive through.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Just waiting for
a cheesy. So here's your happy meal, and you've also got a baby boy. Congratulations.
So can I take your order, please? And you're just huffing and puffing.
How's this one as well, Seth? This is a beautiful little shot. This was over in the States. Have a look at these two beautiful little babies.
Aww. Are they twins, are they? They're
now,
twins?
They're in the hospital together. Two separate families. Mm. They don't know each other. It's a girl and a boy. And it's the first time a photo's been taken with Romeo and Juliet.
Aww.
Is that what they called them?
So you know what? In a situation like this, if you're the parents of Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. I reckon when they're teenagers, you'd have to get them back together. Is that destiny or what?
No, well, that's ill-fated romance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It doesn't end well, does it?
That's incest, which is a different movie altogether.
No.
They're not brother and sister.
No, they're not brother and sister.
Oh, sorry.
They're in a hospital, two separate families.
That's weird.
Did you think they were the same family and we were going to keep them apart for 18 years or something?
No, I just thought you were talking about two babies with great names.
Because, you know, I mean, their parents, that's a great conversation starter for anyone. That story will be told for years and years to come. But when you're Romeo, right? Mm-hmm. And you're 18 and you can't find a girlfriend.
Yep.
You'd go looking for Juliet.
Why wouldn't you?
Jules, where are you?
Jules, it's Romeo.
I'm on Facebook again. He's just stalking hours and hours. It's like someone getting a girl's name tattooed on their bum.
I
have to find the same girl.
Juliet, I don't want to scare you, but I would die for you.
Yep. I'm Romeo. Doves cry, Juliet.
Oh, that could just because that was in the movie.
Song. That was one of the great moments from that scene. Mm. The modern version of Romeo and Juliet. God, we don't play Doves Cry. Got that in the system, mate?
Well, the Baz Luhrmann, his was
huge.
Unbelievable.
Mate, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Remember Claire Danes and she was at the fishbowl there looking around, their eyes meet. And then who, Desiree's, what, have we got Desiree in the system?
No, we're doing Doves Cry, mate. Put your order in. Right.
No, it wasn't this that one. Right. It's Kiss Me. It was the kissing
You're
song from Desiree.
You're waiting for the Kissing You.
Kissing You.
All right,
is that in the system? If this is not in the system.
Why would it be in the system? When have we ever played
what
that song? It's very slow.
Siri, play Romeo and Juliet.
Yes. Oh, hey, see if Siri can get Desiree's Kissing You.
Okay, let me have a bit of a look here. Desiree. What else did Desiree sing?
You gotta be bad.
You gotta be
bold.
Oh, Sarah, good get.
Is that right?
Desiree. What was the name of Desiree's song?
Kissing You.
Kissing You. Okay, let's
It was a beautiful song.
Here.
It does take a while to warm up, though. That's the thing.
That's
we probably
fine.
Don't have time
to
do that.
No, we've definitely got time. We might just have a 30-second ad here on YouTube, but after that, we should just punch through. Ad will play shortly.
We're not going to wait 30 seconds.
Good news, guys. Got a 15-seconder, which is great. So that's good. We'll have Desiree in your 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Have you beaten me to it?
This is it.
Thank you, Fitz.
Remember? And then the fishbowl there. Leonardo.
It was a fish tank. A fishbowl is somewhat less romantic.
And Sarah, just go along with it. That's when Claire... Oh, now you're
playing. Are you playing yours at a different time?
And that's when Claire Danes. God, she was going out with Ben Lee then.
That
remember?
Was an amazing scene.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Tommy,
beautiful.
Do you want to play the whole 3 minutes 40 or?
I prefer not to. I think people can Google it if they want to.
Well, what about this? 13 24 10. Why don't you give us a call? Tell us what song you love from a film, and I'll play it through the iPhone.
That's not bad.
Awesome.
Great radio. Oh, she's good, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she had a great voice.
Yeah.
Where's Desiree now?
She's still performing. She didn't die.
No, I think
didn't
she's...
She?
Oh, dear.
All right, Tom.
R.I.P. Desiree.
Tom.
We've called it this morning.
Organise a red room for Desiree. Right.
This is unbelievable. She is a food blogger, Panini Peterson.
Great name.
Now, she set out to prove that feeding a family for just $1.50 per meal is possible. And she's got a new book, $1.50 Dinners. We need to find out more. Panini, welcome to the show, love.
Hi, how are you going?
It's Panina, isn't it? Sorry, I've stuffed that.
It's not a panini, mate. That's not what she's serving your kids. It's Panina.
I'm trying to save costs. I'm trying to cut costs by taking one of the letters out of your name, and I stuffed up. Sorry, Panina.
That's how most people remember it anyway, so that's fine.
Panina, this is unbelievable. You're talking about $1.50 when you break down the meals. Can you give us a bit of a heads up? How does this system work?
Look, it's a really, really simple system. It's one grocery list and one bulk cooking session in a weekend once a month. Yeah. And it breaks your grocery list down to 168 a month.
Yeah.
So, it's really simple. It's really just a bulk cooking session.
So you're basically cooking every meal for a whole month in the one day, Panina?
Pretty much. It's like, most of the meals, and then there's a couple of cook fresh meals that break up the eating the freezer meals all month. So,
how many meals is that?
28 in total.
28. Okay. Now, give us some of the, because people are going, look, if you can only do a $1.50 meal, they mustn't be very good meals. I mean, but what are some of the things you're churning out?
It's basic Aussie food. So it's stuff, it's like spag bol, it's chicken pie, great. It's chili con carne, it's budget meat cuts, it's chicken. It's still, I've got a painter who's a husband, and who's my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
And so I have to feed him, and the meals are filling, but I've got a weight loss version in there for women, and I've also got, it feeds my kids. They're really happy with the meals because they're very basic Aussie meals. So.
Yeah, Panina, there'd be a lot of people out there going, you're kidding yourself, there's no way you can buy ingredients that cheap. Can I ask you, out of all the major shopping centres and supermarkets out there, which one's the cheapest that you shop at?
I have done this system over 3 months, and Aldi are the ones that have come out winners on top.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, supermarket wars, that's the biggest thing of thing of 2016.
So, I mean, if you went to Coles or Woolies with the same list, mm-hmm. shopping list, are you paying significantly more? Panina?
No. In my book, I've actually got a section that explains that if you shop online and you sort by price, there's actually a way that you can get similar pricing.
Yeah,
they're all very competitive, but I do find that shopping in stores does work out cheaper for some reason.
Panina, that's fantastic. Yeah. Good to know the secrets, because I'm always jealous of you, Fitzy, when you roll through the door and you've got last night's dinner right ready to go in the microwave.
Well, see, leftover. That's what that's what we say. If you're going to cook a meal, say the best way to do it is just cook a little bit more and take it into work and make everyone jealous.
Yep.
That's what I love. There's nothing better when I take my meal out of the microwave, walk into the office,
and then
sit there and wait for the smell to hit your noses. And then I sit back and go, boom, shakalaka.
You know the problem.
Faster.
Yeah, it's perfect. So the problem, you know how people talk about a dad bod, right? I've now worked out why you get a dad bod. Because you often eat what the kids are eating at around 5 o'clock before you sit down and have your own dinner a couple of hours later.
Yeah, but your kids aren't eating that much. They're only little.
No, they eat everything.
See,
steak, sausages, pie.
I love
chicken pie.
I love cheap school mums. Mm. One of my best mate at school, Simps, when he used to bring his sandwich in with his lunchbox, with his Glad wrap, he used to take the sandwich out, and then he was made to fold up the Glad wrap again, put it back in the lunchbox so his mum could use the Glad wrap again the next day.
Economical.
Oh, that's thrifty.
Tight ass or economical, sir? What
Tommy,
do you think?
Tommy, you used to do it with aluminium foil,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, we'd have our ham and cheese sandwiches and then we'd have to fold our foil and bring them home from school and then mum would wash them and hang the foil on the line.
Oh. Are you serious? How do you wash foil?
Well, she'd just wash it, rinse it under the tap and then the next day she'd take it off the line and wrap up our sandwiches and off we'd go.
I was still Maddie DeGroot could not believe that in the Ivy household that Tom's mum used to wash the airfoil and then hang it up on the clothesline. I can understand washing the airfoil, but not hanging up on the clothesline.
Yeah, to let it dry. And I thought it was quite normal. I thought everyone did it.
When your mum bought the washing in, it was just Rosemary's undies and some airfoil.
Oh, leave mum's
no,
undies.
No, Rosemary
undies.
Did wear airfoil as undies a couple of times.
Wow.
Tommy's sandwiches were wrapped up in her
you could hear her coming from 100 metres away. They weren't too comfy. But
she mixed them up. So, Tom, what have you got for lunch today?
I've wrapped up your lunch. I'm not eating that.
There's a bit of Vegemite on your mum's undies.
I would just like to take this chance to apologise. Yep.
Big shout out to Rosemary
Ivy. Rosemary Ivy,
if you're listening or podcasting
this morning. Thanks for your effort preparing lunch.
Yep, thanks, Mum. We have some callers to make it less awkward in case Mummy's nearby.
Rhiannon, welcome to the show. What did your mum do?
Hi, guys. I've got another sandwich wrapping story for you.
Go ahead, awesome. Rhiannon.
I love these. I love them.
So my mum used to collect the bags that the cereal would come inside the cereal boxes.
Yeah.
Like they would have the Sultana brand in, and it was a wax-proof type paper.
Yes,
so mum would collect those. And then each week cut them up and then wrap our sandwiches in that for the week. And then by the end of the week, we'd then get rid of it and then get a new one the next week.
Okay, sure.
They were indestructible, the old wax paper bags, weren't they? And they didn't.
They were pretty awesome.
Yeah, but there would have been a fair bit of sweating going on in them as well. There was no air getting
out. That's true.
Alex and St. Ives, what did your mum do, Alex?
Right, so my mum used to give us those snap-lock bags, just for sandwiches, nothing else.
Yeah.
And once we had used them, then she would take them, we'd take them home after school and she would wash them all out and then with a tea towel make sure they were all wiped clean and we would get the same one the next day if we had a sandwich, but nothing else was allowed to go
in. Yeah, sure, that's thrifty. Yeah.
The snap-lock bags.
Clever, aren't they?
I suppose,
still use the snap-lock.
I mean, if you're throwing them out every day, that is a wastage, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? It's a lot of effort.
They were deemed too expensive.
Yeah, true. I agree, Alex, I agree.
Simone in Normanhurst, cheap school parents, Simone.
Hi, guys. My dad used to wrap my lunch in the paper out of the shoebox. Tissue paper out of shoeboxes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, expensive way to do it because you got to buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah. So we'd cut it up and I'd have Nike branded sandwiches.
Oh, Nike prepared by a sports brand. Oh. Sandwiches prepared by a sports brand. That's a good idea.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Thanks, Simone.
I've got a ham and cheese Air Max today.
Wow, look at that guy. Did anyone, pull the music down. Yeah. Did anyone's parents ever do that one where they made like a character out of a stocking where you'd fill it with like seeds and grass would grow out of the stocking and that would be the hair of the little thing that
What's
you
that?
Made.
Isn't that
and
a then Pikachu? No, what is it?
And then you'd put eyes, like you'd stick eyes from Spotlight that you'd get googly
a
eyes
chia
on
pet
a...
Is what you're
chia
thinking
pet
of.
That chia I'm thinking pet. Of.
Is
yeah,
that
yours
what they're
was
called?
A homemade chia pet. Yeah, you used to have to do them in science class to
mum
see if things would grow.
Mum would come out of her room and go, "Oh, I've got
an old pair of stockings. I've got an old pair of stockings. Let's see if we can grow some."
Jesus,
grow
if those stockings hadn't been through enough.
Oh, Christine. The old Christine chia pet.
Yeah, then we've put them on.
Lights, camera, clarity.
Sarah, some bad news for Adele fans this morning.
Yeah, she's come out and said she doesn't know if she will ever tour again.
Why?
It was during the middle of her final sold-out show in New Zealand. She opened up to the audience about her personal struggles with touring around the globe. She's obviously been on tour, I think it's about 15 months now or something.
Yeah, sure.
And she's just said it gives her, that people applauding her actually makes her feel very vulnerable. And she said in the past that she gets a bit of anxiety performing in public. So I think she hasn't loved this as much as we all think.
You know what? Though no, she was enjoying her Australian tour. She loved being up there, making people laugh. She enjoyed it. Mate, she's been doing it for 15 months. She's got a child. She'll have another child, right? And she'll have a few years off. Mm. Got the, with the amount of money that she made from this tour, she could have 5 years off, come back, make another $500 million, and then you'd have another rest.
Yeah, I reckon I'd find the energy she'll for definitely 70 be back.
Yeah, I would say that she, as you say, she's probably just tired, the end of a big job.
Yeah, we hope so, Sarah.
But it's not great. You hope she's had a good time because it was good seeing her. A career change is in the works, apparently, for Scarlett Johansson. She said she would consider swapping Hollywood for local politics. It feels a bit extreme, but then she does get up and speak a lot. Lately, we've seen her protesting women's rights. And remember, she was up in public at that huge protest in Washington speaking. And I think it's really good when people like her, who are positive role models, get up and encourage people to have a thought, to have a say, all those sorts of things. And America seems to respond so well to celebrities. Look at Donald Trump.
She's
Donald
single.
So, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, she's just split with her husband. They have a 2-year-old, and it was kind of, it's been a very messy divorce.
Right, okay.
Heard that new movie, what is it called? Ghost in the Shell. That looks that really looks, good.
Ghost in
odd,
the Shell.
Yeah. Looks really good.
It's
anyway,
just come out.
Anyone seen it? Give us a call. 13,
no,
24.
I haven't.
I don't
looks
know
really
if
good.
It's out yet, is it? Might be.
I don't know. Have anyway, a sip of your coffee. Let's keep going.
Yeah, let's keep
guys,
moving.
Guys, Brad Pitt, things appear to have settled between him and Anne. She secretly joined her and the kids on a recent trip to Cambodia where she was filming. Apparently, he's focused on healthy, clean living so that things aren't as tense anymore, and she's let him have greater access to the kids. She even let some of them fly back to LA when he had to return there.
Is so, Doug, was Doug seen around?
Doug Pitt?
No, he was still on his Vodafone campaign. Yeah. He's, was it Vodafone?
Virgin.
No,
Virgin.
Mobile.
Was it Virgin Mobile? Can't remember, but he was flat out, Doug.
He was a lovely bloke.
Yeah,
he was amazing.
No, but he was just, it was so funny how it was a great brotherly relationship where Brad was the hot one, right, who was the cool kid at school, and then Doug was just your classic nerd.
But
getting
see,
involved.
He didn't look like a nerd, though. He just looked like a less attractive
looked like one of
version.
The great nerds.
And if you could get the slops of Brad, I mean, for, like, to get... Oh. No, to get the Virgin Mobile, to get that, that would have been... They would have paid a couple hundred thousand dollars. So, mate, he's done well from his brother.
Imagine having a brother like Brad Pitt, even if you were the nerdy one, right? And Brad goes, oh, I'm thinking about having a 16th, right? There's a party at my place. Can you imagine the girls from the neighbourhood rolling through the door and you're there as the brother... Yeah. Just
you're there
trying
with,
to grab the leftovers.
With your other brother, Arm.
You know what I mean?
Arm and Doug just there.
Terrible.
Yep.
Do you have to work or should Brad just support your lifestyle?
Support you. I'm one
surely
of the,
if
I'm
you're
one
Brad,
of the pits.
You support the family.
The party doesn't stop. I'm a pit.
Yeah, that's right. Finally, the countdown is on, guys. Harry Styles, we announced yesterday, the new song will be debuted on April 7th. He has come out and said he's actually also going to be performing on Saturday Night Live next month. Yeah.
Have we got a name for the song?
No, nothing yet. We've still only got that little bit of audio and those Instagram posts he put up, which were just white squares.
That audio we played yesterday, I'm Harry.
Don't look down
not
at
that.
Little Harry because he's going in one direction.
That is not his new single.
That unofficial.
I thought we'd deleted that one.
No,
I
we can't.
We had two.
We can't.
No, we put it back in,
Tom.
Weird on Saturday night.
We put it back in.
Now, on this show, you can contact us, Fitzy and Whipper at novafm.com.au. And it's not just for letters to the editor. You don't have to contact us just about stuff where we completely stuff it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
I
mean? You can, if you've got a problem in your life, we'd love to hear from you as well and try to sort it out.
Like we have this morning. A bit of love music would be perfect for this situation. Got an email, guys. It's from Lisa. Not my wife, I hope, as I continue to read on. She's written to us saying about 12:30 p.m. yesterday, she was having lunch with a colleague at Westfield in the city. The food court, mate. You love it in there, food court.
I love an amazing food court.
She was approached by a handsome man with an English accent. He caught me off guard, she writes. He gently touched my arm, apologised for interrupting, and then gave me the most incredible compliment. He said that he'd just finished eating lunch at a nearby cafe and had noticed me. He said that I was absolutely beautiful and he couldn't take his eyes off me. He then asked for my phone number.
He's had a crack.
Okay, so he could take her out for a drink. He's had a crack. Why wouldn't you? My colleague burst out laughing and I just freaked out. I was shocked even. I cracked under pressure and I said, look, I don't want to do this. I'm only in Sydney for 1 week, so I don't think there's any point. I think she lives interstate. The handsome English gentleman continued and prompted for a little while longer. Then I declined to hand my number over. He expressed his disappointment before wandering off into the crowd. I sat there for the next few minutes deliberating with my colleague and I realised I'd made a mistake.
Yeah, you do in that situation.
I should have given my number out.
That's your serendipity moment, isn't it?
I haven't been able to forget this encounter all afternoon, so much so I've decided to return to the cafe tomorrow to sit there and hope that our paths may cross again. So, shout out today. What was he wearing? A black polo. To the Englishman wearing a black polo. Make this girl's modern-day romance come true.
Well, can we talk? Let's get more details. Lisa joins us now. Good morning, Lise.
Hi, guys.
Lisa, is your heart still racing at the possibility of this romance?
Yes, it is. Like a bit of a giddy schoolgirl. It's a bit silly, but yeah.
Because it can be a bit of a shock when someone does that to you and has the confidence to come up and do that, and you're sitting there with a work colleague, you don't want to look too corny and go, oh, yes. Okay, here's my number.
Yeah, sure.
Did you instantly afterwards, Lise, go, oh, you know what, I actually really like that guy. Did you have an instant attraction?
Yes, absolutely. He was, like I said, he was handsome, and my colleague was like, why didn't you give him your number? And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, there's no alcohol involved. It was midday in the food court. It was, completely
off guard. Got you by surprise. Lise, can you try and describe a little bit more what he looked like? Was there anything that would make him stand out? Was there a scar or a birthmark or anything on him which we could
use? Did he have
a
face tattoo?
Yeah.
No face tattoos, thankfully, but... No, to be honest, I can't even really describe him. I think he was kind of a bit more on the fairer side.
Right, okay.
You know.
How tall?
Good height. I was sitting down, but he was. He looked to be, I don't know, maybe around 6 foot.
Yeah, it's
hard to remember.
Okay, so a real, what kind of, was it a Cockney accent?
No.
It was very well spoken, was he, Lise?
Yes.
Did he say where he worked at all, Lisa?
Nothing at all.
This is tough.
You are not giving us much evidence here.
This is tough.
This is a hard find.
So yesterday he was wearing a black polo?
Yeah, he was wearing a black polo.
What kind of pants?
I didn't even look at the pants.
You would have seen his shoes, wouldn't you? Girls like to look at guys' shoes.
Do you know what? In that moment, I was just completely caught off guard and I didn't even know what I was looking at. But, I remember was a black polo. Okay.
What was the one feature, though, that really struck you? Did he have amazing eyes? Was his hair manicured beautifully? What was it?
Yeah, overall, I think his appearance was, pretty attractive. I think he had nice eyes. I couldn't tell you the colour, but he had nice hair. He didn't have any facial hair or anything, from what I remember.
All right.
There's a movie in this.
This is a tough one. Okay. Now, anyone working in the city, and obviously there's thousands and thousands of people that come into the city every day for work. So we're looking for an English guy. Out of 10, with his physical attributes, what would you give him? Like, how good looking was he, Lise?
Oh, he would have been... probably, I don't know, maybe around a 7.5 to 8.
Okay,
that's interesting.
That's
he's right up there.
He's got a bit to improve by.
No, mate. You take an 8. Take an 8 any day of the week.
Well, okay. So if you know someone English with an English accent who's got the confidence to do this, to go up to a girl like Lisa who works in the city, we'd love to hear from you, 13, 24, 10.
Yeah.
To get involved, because we need Lisa. We need this meeting.
Yeah. Tommy's just done some quick stalking of Lisa and tracked her down. She's a very attractive girl, Lisa, you are. And we're going to put your photo on Instagram. Maybe that can help. Track this man down. So go to the Fitz and Whipper Facebook page. We'll pop a photo of you up there and we'll do everything we can to try and find this man.
Just quickly, Lise, when do you fly back interstate?
I fly back to Melbourne on Friday afternoon.
Oh, God, we've got to get on this really quickly.
Really quickly. All right, we need all the help you can get. If you know an English man who's quite good looking, has the confidence to do that, that works in the CBD, who may have been at the food court at Westfield... yesterday,
someone
Pitt
must
Street
know this
Mall.
Person.
Okay, geez, it's a good food court though, isn't it, Lise? It's bloody good in there.
It's a great food court. Yeah. It was absolutely buzzing yesterday.
What were you eating?
Oh, wait.
I was eating a salad.
It's not about the food.
Dumplings are great in there.
All right. Get in contact with us, Lise. We're going to track him down. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lise. Stand by. Yeah, the song you just heard, Shape of You, that's what we need to talk about right now. Sonia Bryce is the name of a girl. She's been jailed for playing this song over and over again, okay? She's already... She was breaching a noise injunction. She breached it 10 times. She'd already been given a warning. She's done time before. Imagine being the neighbours. Don't get me wrong, we love this song. And there's always one sort of friend in your friendship group at a party that will keep playing the same song over and over again.
Yeah.
There was always that person.
Well, Jay, what was that? You went to a party once and a guy played one song over and over again.
My mate Ash at his 40th kept playing Cake by the Ocean.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, have you got that there in the system? Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad song.
And over again.
And I can understand after two, maybe three times, not bad because it gets the dance floor going.
Nah, he played it like 50 times.
Oh, I do like this song.
Great song.
I mean, it's good for the dance floor.
Yeah.
Well, Kanye West and Jay-Z, right, when they toured together, Watch the Throne tour, they played Ninjas in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, they played it 13 times in the one show.
That's too much. It's like Daryl Braithwaite. He does horses four or five
keep
times.
Keep rolling it out. A mate of mine went to see the Choir Boys one time. And they sang Run to Paradise about 13 times. Everyone just kept yelling out, sing it again.
Johnny!
We were always best of friends.
And that's worth it.
I don't know another Choir Boys song.
Yeah.
So they just rolled that one out. Claire and Jonathan are the next door neighbours. They've got five kids and it's 3 a.m. and all they hear blasting is this song over and over again. Good song, don't get me wrong. I know in Guantanamo Bay, without a word of a lie, they used to play Christina Aguilera over
I thought it was AC/DC.
No, as a torture technique. I'm not
sure. Genie in a Bottle, I think it was.
Would
yeah.
It be the,
Dirty.
I think it was Dirty.
Dirty.
Yeah, it was Dirty. But they also did Britney Spears.
David Hicks has it as his ringtone now.
Does he now? As a bit of a joke. He only does it on a Throwback Thursday. Throwback to Guantanamo Bay, where we all had a bit of a laugh.
Genie in a bottle. Oh. David, your phone's ringing.
Bad memories. Get me back to Adelaide. Anyway, so this poor lady has now been jailed for noise abuse at good old Ed Sheeran. And unfortunately, the family have said, we used to love Ed Sheeran, now we can't listen to Ed Sheeran anymore.
Can I just say, when you listen every day to Talkback Radio and some of the crimes that people get away with...
Yeah, I know. Punishment doesn't fit the crime.
No, and this poor lady's been sent to jail for playing Shape of You too much and too loud.
In prison 8 weeks. And when you have to say to your cellmate, what are you in for?
Well, that's it.
She says, can I play your quick song?
That's the thing. Did they rock up to a house to say, can you turn it down? Mm-hmm. And they found, 20 kilograms of heroin in there? I can understand or something.
No,
it was just for the... Next week, there is a by-election in the North Shore. And Gladys Berejiklian, the Premier, has decided to leave a couple of voice messages for the lovely people who live around the North Shore there just to vote for a certain person. Now, Tom, you do live in Kirribilli, don't you?
God,
so
nice
you received
area.
This.
Yeah, so 6:30, two nights ago, my phone private number flashed up. I didn't take it. I pushed it to voicemail. And then I got this message.
Hello, this is Premier Gladys Berejiklian. I've taken the unusual step of contacting you with this recorded message to support your local Liberal candidate in North Shore, Felicity Wilson. As part of my Liberal team, Felicity Wilson will be your strong local voice for North Shore. I know Felicity Wilson, and I know she will get things done for North Shore. Only Felicity Wilson and the Liberals can deliver the beaches and tunnels. This is Gladys Berejiklian on behalf of Felicity Wilson. Thank you for your time.
I liked it. It's not bad. Tell me, did you feel powerful when you when Inga said, who was that that just called and you said it was the Premier?
I was really
excited.
She
wanted to chat 6:30 at night.
For the first second where she said, hi, this is Gladys Berejiklian.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
And it's a private number. Yeah. Inga would have thought that you and Gladys were maybe, how do you do?
And how did you, because I'm also on the North Shore and didn't get it. So perhaps she has picked a favourite.
Okay.
Also, we also all need to refer to each other in full names from now on.
I know.
Okay, Michael Whipfley, because
problem,
you're the strong voice for Nova.
Thank you, Matt DeGroote. Brian Ivy.
This is a great idea to maybe put together a recorded message there. And you know, in radio, we like to use a lot of research. So, you know, Nova, all radio stations, they ring listeners.
Yep.
They want to know what music they like.
Yep, feedback. What songs are the best.
What could Fitzy and Whipper do better. Mm. And we thought this was a great idea for our show. Something similar to Gladys's message, and you could leave some feedback. This is what we put together.
Hello, this is Nova Breakfast host Fitzy and Whipper.
We've taken the unusual step of contacting you to support our show on 96.9 FM. As part of our feeble team, we will attempt to entertain you every morning on your way to work. I know Fitzy, and I know Whipper, but we want to get to know you. If you could leave your name and provide any feedback you have about our show, it would be muchly appreciated. Fire away, after the beep.
So that was the message Easy. That we came up with.
You'd love to get that at 6:30 at night time, wouldn't you?
We thought we'd give Bo Ryan a call. This is what happened.
Fire away after the beep.
Hey, guys, yeah, love the show. Love the new host, Matt DeGroote. Sarah's great too. Tommy's good. Yeah, as soon as you get rid of Fitzy, I think the better. Fitz will stay between us, obviously. All right, I better go. To go pick up Grant Hackett from the airport.
Oh, jeez. I mean, he's misunderstood how this segment's meant to work. Thanks for your contribution.
That wasn't
though.
A good start.
Not a bad start.
So we thought we'd ring a good mate of ours, Dr. Chris Brown, down at Bondi.
Fire away after the beep.
Hi, it's Dr. Chris Brown here. I'm currently unavailable as I'm out paddleboarding. That's clearly my normal activity most days. By all means. Thank you so much for the message, Fitz and Whipper. I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to talking about my personal life with you guys sometime soon. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
See, that wasn't bad. Okay, that's good.
That's nice. And I'm glad he's finally open to the idea of talking to you guys about his personal life rather than being pushed into it.
It was also more of a voicemail like you called him for a chat.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
It was weird, wasn't
he called you. Yeah. He's left a message on our phone.
I'm completely confused. Well, he's doing his own the campaign for Bondi Bet.
We thought we might get Sammy Burgess on the way into training.
Fire away after the beep.
Fitzy and Whippy is you're boring and your banter's crap in the morning. I would have you both fired and bring in some English people to do the show because we are far more hilarious. Fitzy, long bean, Whipper, short, fat bean. Feedback from Sam Burgess. Thank you.
Fat bean? See, that's...
Fat bean.
Okay, so we're doing okay. Then we got to go to a very close friend.
Yeah, who?
Just to give us a positive... Some positive feedback so we can go away feeling good about ourselves.
Yep.
So we rang Tommy Williams from Channel 7. This is what happened when we rang Tommy's phone.
Hello, Tom speaking.
Hello, this is Nova Breakfast host Fitzy and Whipper. We've taken the unusual step of contacting you to support...
Oh, what?
Tommy.
Didn't even get through the message.
Tommy didn't even get to the end.
Thanks, buddy. Just been reading about this new dating app, which is about to take off, called Tinder.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Actually, I was speaking to one of the fathers down at Huey's Footy Club.
Here we go.
And he's a physio, and he went away with a team that he does physio for, and he said it's just, he couldn't believe it. He's got a family of four kids, so he's a little bit older, so he's not obviously into it, but he was on the bus with the boys, and they went interstate to play a footy game, a trial game, and he said as they landed on the plane, there was a few boys that got on Tinder, and he said he could not believe how easy it was that they were telling these girls, oh, girls, we're going to be playing at this footy ground.
Yeah.
And there was three girls that actually came down to the footy ground, never met them before to watch them play football and go out on a date after the game.
So they all went out for dinner or something?
Yep, went out
good
after the game.
Yeah, sure. It's a good effort.
Jay and I met a girl that works for Tinder one night, didn't we?
That's right.
And she said, look, it's not a dating app. We don't refer to it as a dating app. It's a social app.
How
this
so?
Is connecting people.
Oh, come on.
I'd say it's more
connecting them through dating.
Give me a break.
All right, so, but this is the thing. I mean, people have been trying to work out how could you cash in on Tinder?
Yep.
Does Tinder make money? Do they advertise?
I don't know. I'm not on it.
It'd have to be worth a bit of money now. Well, it's the number one dating app, isn't it?
Plenty of data on it.
Anyway, Maggie Archer, she's 20 years of age, and she thought some blokes are pretty basic. And a majority of them that use Tinder, she thought, are that basic that if I put on my bio... All she wrote on her bio was, send me $5, see what happens with a winking emoji.
Right.
Now, everyone that swiped right for Maggie, she said 80% of the fellas that swiped right then asked the question, what do I get from a $5? And she said, send it and find out. Gave them her PayPal account, which is the most secure account that you can give.
Yep.
She got $35 within the first few hours before Tinder shut down her profile.
Well done, boys.
And so what did she give?
She gave nothing. She just wanted to suck blokes in.
To see if people would actually fall for it. It's like when you're on Facebook and they say, hit like to see what happens in 3 seconds. Hit like and count to three. Wait till you see what happens to your screen.
You do it.
You never press like. No, you don't. You don't want to be sucked in by that.
Well, you do, though.
I did, and nothing happened. that's cool. Tinder pulled her off, did they?
I'm a little bit disappointed she didn't go for a fibby.
No one's giving a 50 without knowing what they're getting.
Women around the world, right, that are sending men in Nigeria, thousands of dollars, I reckon you can pull 50 from Tinder.
Not many people fall for that scam.
There's enough.
You obviously, your mind races to send nudes. I mean, what do I get for my money? Thinking nudes.
Why would you pay for a nude? You could probably just Google
image.
Yeah, fair call.
Yeah.
Yep, good point.
And it'd probably be a better looking nude than the punter.
No, but then there's guys out there probably thinking, well, okay, then I've got an opportunity here to get that nude.
Oh, yeah. God, you people are so basic.
That's why I've met most of my new friends that I haven't introduced you guys to on Chat Roulette. You guys still doing Chat Roulette at all?
You're still dropping your pants on camera.
Still clicking through, seeing
how
what else
good
is...
was Chat Roulette?
I know.
And
every third one, it
flash
was always one bloke in his bed who was bloody on his joystick playing a video game.
That's a shame. That's not what I was hoping for.
And he didn't have an Xbox or a PlayStation in front of him.
Just wanted to socialise. Put it away, mate.
So chuffed.
Didn't you and BJ get on there one time? You had people around for dinner and you were on Chat Roulette.
No, we had a dinner party. Chat Roulette, and everyone was doing it. And we had a few people and the guys and everyone was just laughing because you'd get a new person, someone would get up and do a dance in their lounge room. Okay, let's try the next person. Mm-hmm. And then two sisters got on and started taking the tops off.
How did that end up?
And everyone, it was just funny because there was two different types of reaction in the room. There were the girls going, whoa, and the guys going, yeah.
Fitzy was sending $5, which
and
was
BJ
weird.
And BJ just sent next. You're in for a treat now. I mean, when you tune into the radio every morning, our objective is to try to entertain you, put a little bit of a smile on your face, but you will be blown away when you're about to hear what's about to happen.
This could be the most disappointing thing we've ever done on air in our 6 years as a team. I introduced the cat piano a while ago, and that did not come back. And I can tell you right now, we are streaming on the Fitzy and Whipper Instagram page. We're live.
This Instagram live, man. Technology said we're live on Instagram, Fitzy and Whipper.
Jack just said take your pants off.
Okay, Jack, I'll do it. I'll do it. Big Moe said to take my top off. Why do people always... Okay, you can send through questions.
Oh, yep, lots of comments here. Hello from Randwick. Hey, how hot's Whipper? Could he take his top off?
No one said that.
Yeah, go, boys. Hi, Jack. Okay. We're doing well. So how does this work, mate?
So what's happening? Okay, so this is a toy that Lenny's had for quite a while. It's the Octotunes toy. Now, you press the tentacle, Sarah, and they make a noise.
Awesome.
Oh, it's a bit weak. So you're going to have to really slam
them. So you can play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and all that kind of stuff. Boring! I would rather go for the big ones, and that's why I'm wearing my hat backwards today and I've got my Ray-Bans on, Sarah, because today I'm going to have a crack on the Octotunes toy. I'm going to have a crack at Faithless and Insomnia.
Yeah, feedback so far, flop it out, and where's the running club? When are they bringing that back?
I don't think it did say that. Mixed
reaction this morning.
All right, we're going to build this up. We're going to get stuck into this. Okay, no, not yet. Wait, I'm a little bit nervous. I just got to get set up. Okay, we've got two mics.
It's going to be terrible.
Okay, so go to our Instagram account right now.
Whipper is Rap King. Fitzy, you dribbler.
Okay. All right, here we go. I'm putting the mics down.
You can do this. We've got 200 people watching, mate.
Come on, Fitz.
This
is all right. Take her original. Woo! This is turned
into a ceaseless attack. I get no sleep.
Nudes or it didn't happen. I can't get no sleep.
Someone put him down.
He's working really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Fitz. Oh. I feel so sorry for you. Oh.
What is a 40-year-old man doing?
I think this.
Come on!
Oh, we get it. What's meant to happen?
It feels a bit repetitive.
Stop the music. Wow. Put your hands together.
That was amazing.
Wow. That
Do you want to hear it without the music?
No, we could hear it.
That goes into the books with Happy Birthday Honk Along, that game you came up with.
What I want to know, Sarah, and I think... No, we heard it, yeah. What I want to know, and Sarah, I think this is what you were talking about, was just to see a 40-year-old father of two getting home and saying, sorry, honey, I haven't got time for the kids. I'm going up to my room with the octopus.
To Sarah's point, that would be physically difficult to do.
Very hard to do, Sarah.
However, on behalf of Sydney... Do we need to experience it together?
How many hours went into that, mate? How many hours?
Does that video stay up forever, or is that gone now on Instagram?
What's funny about this? We've been talking about doing this for a week, and each morning Fitzy goes, no, I'm not ready yet. So each day, he's been going home to practice.
A lot of people out there do fake credentials and lie a little bit, Sarah, to get certain jobs.
Part of it, isn't it?
We've all done it before, haven't we?
Don't we order? You just put a bit of colour on it, a bit of GST.
Fluff it up a bit.
Some sugar.
Yep.
A guy over in the US, Jonathan Ryan, 22 years of age, he's been charged with second-degree forgery and second-degree computer crimes. Oh, that's a tough one.
Computer crimes.
Second-degree computer crimes.
Okay, sure.
After police said that he forged documents to make it appear like he graduated from a certain school, Lincoln College in Southington. This is the weird thing, though. He forged a document saying that he did a certain course, and he got a job at a funeral home as a mortician, but he had no experience at all.
Well, but what kind of experience do you need? Because you can't exactly hurt the person.
Makeup.
They're already dead.
Got to do makeup.
Yeah, but you're playing with dead bodies, Sarah.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter what you do to them.
Okay, so if you want the person to look like they were when they were alive and presented for an open casket and you do their lipstick all over their face and they look like a clown or the Joker from Batman.
Any person who's put on makeup before can put makeup
on someone.
I
couldn't do it.
Okay, well, but you haven't worn it. I could put makeup on someone
else. On dead bodies.
What if Winnie passed away, right?
Oh,
put lipstick on
that.
Winnie.
And you found out that I was just some chump off the street, Sarah, who faked my way into that job as a mortician. And there I am, just shaving Winnie's hair back. You've got no idea how Winnie's going to look as she's being lowered.
Different with a dog when they're covered in hair.
And don't bring up Winnie and lipstick.
See, this is ridiculous. As a mortician, you're playing with a family member or a close friend's dead body. This is their body. This kid's got no experience at all.
Again, though, I don't see what kind of damage he could
cause. It's weird. Like, what are your qualifications? Like, when you go to TAFE, do you go,
Well, a good friend of Nova, who's on air after you, in fact.
Greg. Oh, yeah,
went on a few dates with a mortician, a 26-year-old girl. She was something else. She said, actually, to be honest with you, I've always wanted to be a mortician. Had to study to do it because there's a lot of massage involved in the muscles and figuring out how to relax the muscles because that's the biggest thing with a dead body is stopping the rigor mortis from sitting in.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you serious?
How do they do that? They keep them on ice.
Yes.
Well, but also, and it's also when you pass away, dead bodies do emit quite a bit of gas as well. They get rid of gas out of the body.
I went to a mate of mine was doing medicine.
So you've got to push out a couple of little squeakies before the funeral.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gag from your coffin, isn't it? If you can time it. Just during the eulogy. Who was that? You know it was you.
You wouldn't want to have a nap at work. Dead. Wouldn't want to have a nap at work, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Someone just roll in and be just another one.
Do you know what kids are doing now as well?
There's
been a lot of these that have gone viral. They take selfies with the person that they're at the funeral with.
Yeah,
so that's why the body has to be prepared the best,
because that's a bit weird.
For selfies.
I went to a mate of mine doing medicine. I went and played with the cadavers one time.
Oh, yes.
Quite weird. You go into a room and there was just 20 body bags. Then you unzip the bag and they all have a name. Oh, this is Eric. I don't know where they come from. Are they homeless people? Or are they donated?
People donate their body to science.
Not homeless people die too, mate.
No.
In some universities, I can tell you, they've been collected.
Where do you find a dead person?
They've been collected. I'm telling you that much.
Oh, poor Pete's passed away. What uni are we going to send him to?
Hard to get into. Didn't do the study, so there's no other way of going in. Would have loved to have done it alive.
Most of them still have families.
Yeah, but they're a uni, right? And you go in there, and it's weird. It's just like a piece of meat. And we were pulling on their tendons in their arms and their fingers were moving. It was like they were still alive.
There's a funeral. There's an ad that's going around on radio at the moment of a funeral home.
Mm.
And they say they can cater to anything that you want. And there was a postie that passed away. And they got a couple of other posties in their little bikes.
To ride him in.
Rode next to him as they brought the casket
lovely.
Down.
It was late. It was 3 days late.
Listen. Fitzy and Whipper.